I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Fried Egg Podcast. Back by popular demand, we've got Tron Carter, and DJ Pyhowski was supposed to join, but I think something had to do with his Lee Westwood, Mark Leishman bet that went south today. He's scared. He didn't show up, so we're filling in with probably a better replacement, Neil Schuster of No Laying Up. Gentlemen, welcome on.
Yeah, happy to be here. You know, first time participant, long time listener. Yeah, DJ didn't want to see his didn't want to show his face today. Can't blame him. Bad takes all the way around. Stinks.
Just
can't prognosticate for me. So just wanted to pause and say we're coming to you live from 150 Churchill here in Atlanta. The
Big Cedar Lodge.
Yeah, the Big Cedar Lodge. We call it the facility, and it's actually Tron Carter's birthday. So April 8th. Just want to say big shout to the big homie over here.
Happy birthday, guy.
Thank you. Tron's getting another year older, another year wiser. You know, only better things to come from Tron.
He said it 2 years ago. He said 2017 was going to be his Yotto year.
The year of the takeover.
And it would be poetic if Sergio won in Tron Carter's Yotto year.
I don't even want to talk. It's like a pitcher pitching a perfect game. I don't even want to talk about it. Like, the guy, I'm not even going to acknowledge the fact that Sergio is doing what he's doing.
So, Andy, can I kick it off here? I'd like to say I'm rooting for Sergio. But I'm having issues a little bit with his body language. He looks real tight out there on the course. He's really being hard on himself coming down the stretch.
You're projecting your own negativity.
He made some big putts.
Going for it.
Stick to 8-footers. But I was concerned with he looked like he was tight.
I don't think he had his swing down the stretch today. He's kind of scraping it with the irons. He's getting too steep on his irons.
I don't know if he believes, man.
He hit a driver real well, though.
It's interesting. His round, like, I didn't think he putted well either. He kind of was, like, I didn't like how he was just, like, the ball was barely getting to the hole, you know?
Yeah.
I know he was above.
There were some tentative putts in there for sure.
He was above the hole a lot, and that's tough. You know, you can't.
The one that stuck out to me was, I felt like when he, on 15, I think on 18, like, he would hit a kind of a mediocre shot and just, you could tell immediately, right off the club face, from his reaction.
But my point is, the shot wasn't that bad, and his reaction immediately was, oh my god, my round's over. Like, I thought that was in the creek. And it's like he's expecting
No,
but I feel like he's expecting to have that happen. It's almost like he's waiting for the other shoe to drop.
It's like a fatalistic.
Yeah, he's like he thinks he's gonna go down with the ship, man. And I wish he would be a little bit more positive. I want to be positive, you know.
I mean, all right, Andy, do you think he's gonna win tomorrow? I'm just gonna come right out and ask. What's your pick?
I just have this feeling Fowler's gonna win. I feel like he's putting well, and he's kind of been scraping it around.
How low key was he this afternoon? Like from 10 onwards or 11 onwards?
He made so many putts, man. Like 10 footers and in.
It was like a master class in keeping it between the mayonnaise and the mustard.
You know, here's something I want to talk about is Jordan Spieth as a player versus Rory McIlroy.
Is this the time in the podcast when you just dump on Rory for 5 minutes?
No, I think, like, Rory has all these gifts like tee to green, he's probably the most gifted player with Dustin Johnson. But like, he just like doesn't get it done. And I feel like every single round, you could say, well, Rory's round could have been a couple shots better, you know, had he not missed the short putt. But then Spieth is like the complete opposite guy, where you're like, how the hell did he shoot 68?
Yeah.
You know, he like short sides himself.
Well, somebody said something today about, and forgive me if it was Faldo, because that's like the first enlightening thing he said all week, but like, somebody talked about Spieth sees like a third dimension to the golf course that nobody else, that is very rare for a golfer to see, where, like, especially at Augusta National, where a few years ago at his debut, somebody was saying where they played with couples yesterday. Whoever played with couples yesterday said that couples only missed in one bad spot all day. Like, mm-hmm. on 18 holes, he only had one miss where he was in a spot that he wouldn't want to miss in. And, like, Spieth did that 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And, all right, was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago? I don't know. But he I guess 3 years ago now. Yeah. So he's got that sixth sense or that third dimension where he just knows, he's just got this intuitive feel of the golf course. I thought his post round comments today were extremely telling as well. He said some pretty outrageous shit after the round.
Like what?
He said, he said they can't Spieth-proof this place.
He said that?
Yeah, and then they asked him to
he said that to Dottie.
And then they asked him to sum up his round today in, like, one word. And he said, courageous, brave. I was like, Jesus, man. Like, really?
You know what?
Really?
You know what?
And I like that. I feel like that's his mental state right now. It's like he's outwardly antagonistic to everybody because he's sick of being asked about number 12 last year and number 15 on, you know, the other day. It's like he's ready to roll. He's ready to put it in the rearview mirror. I like that.
As great as his round was, Justin Rose shoots a better round and gets like none of that press. You know, how would you handicap the, we'll say, Spieth, Fowler, Garcia, and Rose in percentages?
Man, I think Rose is a cold-blooded killer. Percentages are tough. I'm not good with numbers,
yeah.
You know? I'm more of a field guy myself. But Rose, coming down the stretch, what, birdies at 17 and 18? And just cold-blooded birdies, right? Just like fairways, greens, making a 20-footer. Like, no biggie. With his smug ass.
And his big sunglasses.
On his face and big sunglasses. And, you know, I've grown to like the guy. You know, just because he's so smug.
I want to like him.
He's like an MI6 or something. Man.
You know,
like,
Tron. Guys. You should love him because he's a guy that has altered his career from, you know, coming out. He was an LPCP All-Star, and he said, "I need to hit the ball further," and has added like 40 yards to his driving distance.
And he's figured out how to make his putting work.
I know, he came out, I remember that with the British Open, he was like the young stud, and then he like...
What, he missed like 30 cuts in a row?
Yeah, then he didn't get it done, and then he came back. He kind of backed into that Marion one, though.
Yeah, Phil gifted that to him, but...
I mean, he's a stud, and you're right, Ricky's playing great. Oh, man, I'm rooting for Sergio. I'm rooting for Sergio. I want to see him do it.
I want to give a shout-out to Charlie Hoffman. Because, yeah, he had, like...
To the garbage man?
Like, that swing that he made on 16, that was a pretty... I know that swing. That was like, a not as even remotely as bad as the swing I made in the Roast My Swing video, but, like, the left side of your body shuts down, and you just kind of hood one. Like, he did the same thing there, just on a much... Tron is haunted by his Roast My Swing video. You can't tell, it's been bothering him.
No, it doesn't.
But that's what's out in the world. Doesn't that at all.
Swing and that outfit.
Shut up.
That's out in the world.
Shut up. So, anyway.
It was a bad week for Tron that week.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was a great week.
Well, we had a tremendous week, but that was you didn't play well.
No, I just played like shit.
You didn't play well.
I never play well.
What a day.
So, going back, Hoffman comes back after that and sinks two big-ass putts after he got boned up on 18 today, too. Like, that was... He had a good approach into 18 and got absolutely Dikembe Mutombo'd.
Yeah,
he did. It rolled back like 30 feet.
He made only like one bad swing all day. Was that one on 16? It's like if he had made that swing on 14, he probably would have gotten up and down for a par. He just made like the worst swing he's made all week on a hole with water.
I mean, even on 16, he made the putt for double, right? Like he left it a little bit short, and then he made that. Like he made three big ass putts in the last three holes.
Who do you guys, to 10 feet. Who's got a better chance tomorrow, Ryan Moore or Charlie Hoffman? I think both of them are kind of going to fly under the radar, and it's good that they're paired
with
each other.
What are each of them at?
They're at four. They're only two shots out.
Both at four?
Yeah.
I like Hoffman. I just don't think Moore's putter's going to hold up.
I feel like he's a guy that could go out and shoot 66 and win.
He's such a grinder.
Yeah, he just... Yeah. He's a big game hunter.
Yeah, his swing, it's got like pulleys and levers in it and all sorts of machines. It's like he's like Pinocchio. It's like a puppet master's pulling strings and dropping his... I mean, it's crazy. And then, but he just gets a... He gets so steep on it.
And he wiggles into it, you know, his pre-shot.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Furyk move, but a lot sexier. Uh-huh. You know, it's like, how do you do that, man? Like, it's really impressive. And then they always, it's like the thing they do on the telecast where they always say the same thing about, like, each player. It's like, yeah, he won the NCAA, he won the USAM, he won the Western Junior, he won everything. Like, the guy was an absolute killer
when
he was younger.
Guys, he's been on the tour for, what, 10 or 12 years now? Like, find something new to say. And then tomorrow, they're not like, I love Seve. One of my favorite players in the history of the game. But like Ian Baker Finch might just like he might be not even calling the golf tomorrow, just talking about Seve. Like they could put him in the corner, not even on a hole, and he would just bring up Seve incessantly on everything.
You know, I think the coverage, like, I think they had, like, a problem where there were too many big names on the leaderboard.
Oh, for sure.
They, like, didn't know what to do. They were like, oh, God, they're, like, whose shot do we show?
How about, let's start here, Andy. Why don't we show more approach shots into 13? I think that's that's a great place to start. It's the
just
coolest shot on the course.
In general.
And they
I feel like
show...
they just need more...
They don't show 13
they
ever.
They don't have enough recording.
And Dottie's – then they bring Dottie on. She doesn't talk. She just says, like, one thing. And then, like, they go somewhere else. They go to, like
– Perfect example today.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
Dottie, they cut to 18 after showing, like, eight guys hitting putts in a row. And not even interesting putts or, like, you know, crucial putts. And they cut to 13 green. And Rom is putting for eagle from like 20 feet, and Dottie says, like Rom hit a remarkably beautiful shot into here.
Yeah, just an absolute gem of a second shot. It's like, cool, thanks for showing us, guys. Like,
you know what you know what bugs me too is when they go to those interviews in Butler Cabin, and they don't just go to like a small little corner. Like, I don't want to watch two people talk, like. I'm
or
happy to listen.
Put it in the side. Put it in a picture-in-picture.
I'm happy to listen to them talk, but I want to see shots still. Like, I don't want to be taken away from all that's going on the course.
Well, all right. I'm glad you brought up the Butler Cabin thing. It kind of pisses me off that those guys are wearing their hats in there. If you want to let them wear their hats, and I get that with the sponsors, make them do the interview outside. Of all places... Augusta National, like that was the one thing when you go over to Europe or you go to a nicer club, take your freaking hat off.
It's stern, but fair.
I'm a hat off guy in indoors and in clubs.
But you think of all places, the Masters, like that's just it's just a weird look every time I see those guys inside in that wood setting wearing a hat. Not good.
So you guys played some golf today.
We did, yeah.
We played up at the Currahee Club in northeast Georgia by Toccoa.
Mountain.
It was like right on the South Carolina border.
Good spot.
Made famous by Band of Brothers. That was HBO's coming out party way back in the day. You guys watched that show?
I did.
That was a heavyweight. Heavyweight.
I think we passed the Currahee Military Museum today, didn't we?
I think we did. That was when Brody from Homeland was Captain Winters.
So that was the training camp up there?
Yeah, that was okay. Way back in the day.
So, yeah, it's like a mountain course. It was a Jim Fazio.
Jim.
He doesn't. The last doesn't famous fuck quite as hard as Tom Fazio.
But they said
I didn't
so,
know he had a brother. So, I didn't even know that.
So Andy, you would find this interesting. He, I guess, like he hadn't visited the property yet, and he'd reviewed all the maps and kind of done a routing, like a preliminary routing, and then he got on property and saw this, like, the site for what is now the 17th hole, this par three. Like I put a picture up on Instagram of today, and it's like this par three, 200-yard par three over a quarry, and he like basically rerouted the entire course to make that, you know, one of, like,
solid golf
hole.
There's a little waterfall on the side.
It was cool, man. It was
all carry. It's like 190 all carry.
We played with the assistant pro and the superintendent today. They were awesome. The greens were so pure. I mean, it was just fun. Like I made four birdies, four doubles, and a triple.
Who won the brother showdown?
Tron kicked me
shit
to the curb. I had a tough day. Couldn't locate the hands at the top.
I was spraying the driver. Listen, I'm
the game first hole.
I caught a few good balls today. I had a couple hosel rockets, which wasn't good. It's a tough course to go out and play. It's a mountain course. I struggle with mountain courses because I get a lot of funky lies, and I'm not very dialed in with my irons to begin with because I'm not playing a lot of golf right now. So you start throwing me on uphill, downhill stances, and who knows where the ball's going? Who knows how far it's going?
I mean,
and we play with the superintendent. Without him, I would have shot probably 100. I mean, there were so many blind tee shots. I didn't really like some of the tee shots. A lot of blind bunkers.
There was one hole, number five. It was like a downhill and then uphill par five. That was the one where I was like, man, there's no excuse to have a shitty hole out here. Because it's such a cart course and there's so much space in between.
Yeah.
A lot of the holes where it's like, all right, you could have moved. You've got enough wiggle room here to fit a good hole in wherever. But the par threes were exceptional.
There were two great par fours on the front.
Yeah.
Good water hazards.
Yeah.
It's a nice course.
It was cool. It
was I didn't
fun.
Play well.
It was really fun.
You know, mountain golf's a different style of golf. Andy, the elevation stuff adds a big variable.
Yeah.
You don't even really expect it. It kind of sneaks up on you. Like, man, this is a lot of, like, why am I not hitting the ball good? And I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I really haven't felt comfortable over it all day.
My depth perception was way off. But in the first hole, Neil hit one 395. Oh. And granted, it's like way downhill, but it was – when we teed off at 9 this morning, it was pretty – no wind whatsoever.
It was tasty.
You know, if you guys had Shot Tracker, everybody on Twitter would be tweeting about how far you hit it, and you know that
it
the
would,
ball
yeah, it
was
would be
the
like
problem.
The McRib on the first couple holes.
Yeah, it was serious. These guys were playing with the pro thought he was going to be in for a laser show. I was like, yeah, buddy.
And then
next hole I hit like El Hozel into the lake with an 8-iron.
He Tani Haras.
It's like, whoa!
Like, in the middle of the
It'll
lake.
Cost ya! And then I had to go drop one and carry, like, 110 yards on the next shot. And I was like, fuck, man. But I did. I hit the green.
I three-putted the first hole for par. I missed, like, an 8-foot birdie putt.
He almost had a birdie, or a hole-in-one.
Yeah. Closest I've ever gotten
2 inches.
Man.
Right from I lipped it. Yeah, it was close, man.
I went off this ridge and it started coming back. And then
you could see that, like, they had sanded the greens maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, so there's still slight kind of sand line in the greens. And you could see the path of the ball, and it was like, it burned the lip. I was like, ah, it was probably like 2 inches from going in, just because it would have had to have hit it dead on. But
would have been a good birthday.
Final verdict, I'd say Karahi Club definitely worth the drive, worth the time.
Yeah.
But not a course you can just, it's like,
we played a little bit early in the season too.
Yeah, we did. But views are great, and the course is in awesome shape. It's just mountain golf sometimes can throw you.
Yeah.
So Andy, I think we should do something where, for the mid AM this year, because this course would be spectacular in the fall. So mid AM, you know, either you qualify for it, or if you don't qualify, we put something together. Come down, watch some mid AM golf, and we go up to Kirihi for a day, and then we go up to Sweden's for a day.
I gotta go to Sweden's. I want to do Lookout Mountain too.
Yeah, actually, like Lookout Mountain in the morning, and then Sweden's all afternoon one day or something.
Yeah, I got so many trips I want to do. That's Sweden's I gotta get to though again, but let's get back to the Masters.
I got a question. I mean, Phil got dropped from coverage early today.
That was warranted, I think.
I know, but I'd say that's been my biggest disappointment so far, is that Phil just didn't charge today with Spieth. There was so much potential in that pairing for, like, just fireworks everywhere. And then Spieth just leaves him in the dust.
Yeah, that was like...
And he looked fat in his white, you know? It just was like a bad day all around for Phil.
Bad outfit.
Spieth was, like, abusing the elderly.
Yeah, I don't think Phil can pull it together for four rounds anymore.
I was going to say,
so he's like Westwood then. So he's like Westwood.
Westwood is, I mean, I don't know. Westwood's in, I feel like Westwood contends more majors now than Phil has since he won at.
See, I don't know if I could buy that. Like, you got to think, won. I feel like Phil's more competitive than Westwood.
Who last year?
Who?
I mean, Westwood. Like, he's very competitive in majors. He had every chance to win that last year.
He finished second last year in the Masters, and then he was in the final group at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, until he killed his fans.
Hey, did Phil even make the cut last year?
Andy, I'm on your side here. All right, so
I'm just sad about it. That's all.
Well, so I think that comes down also to. I think people just underestimate, but when the course is this hard, they set, like, you know, I mean, the pins were not in easy spots today. Like, they were up on a lot of little ridges and stuff. When the course is set up like that, it's really taxing mentally.
Yeah.
And I feel like those guys were exhausted coming off 18 today. Just mentally.
Especially coupled with all the wind from the first 2 days, the wind is what is that just drives you nuts. It's so hard to hit good shots in the wind and
Back, I want to ask you about this because I think you'll have an interesting take on it. There's been a lot of chatter in, you know, this is a topic of conversation during the Florida swing and then like amongst the Brits a couple weeks ago when I was over there. Was Rory's relationship with JP, his caddy. And there seems to be a growing sentiment amongst the Twitterati that JP is costing him at least one or two shots a round, just with missed clubs. And I mean, people say, like, and a lot of people, I mean, caddies will DM me and all this, and like, I've never really wanted to buy too much into it. Rory knows his game, and you know he's been with the guy for forever. But like, there's a bunch of people that say, like, if Rory had a professional caddy, or somebody that they deem a professional caddy, on his bag, like, he would be so much more effective as far as piecing together around when his game isn't completely on point. What's your take?
I don't know. I think there's the caddy player relationship is such an interesting thing. Like, you can have, and it's a very delicate situation. I mean, I think people had the exact same take with Dustin Johnson a year ago today, you know? You know, yeah. If he got rid of his brother Austin, he'd be so, well, like, who's saying that now?
Yeah. Well, also, going back to DJ, like, I think people with DJ don't understand that, like, DJ doesn't want somebody to club him. Yeah. Like, he's a first instinct. He commits right off the bat. And, like, don't try to talk him off of a shot after he's already decided in his head.
So much of caddying and being a good caddy is knowing what to say and when to say. And like,
or it's almost knowing what not to say.
Yeah,
when not to say
exactly.
Something.
It's understanding like how to interact with your player and get the best out. So like when it comes like Rory, it's as on the player as much as the caddy when it comes to picking clubs. You know, I do notice that Rory does like just airmail greens more than any other player in golf.
But is some of that an effect of him being that much more, I don't want to say explosive, but like that, just
having that much more pop?
Yeah, having pop.
So I always think that the best ball strikers, so like if you watch Sergio all day tomorrow, like he very rarely misses numbers.
Yeah.
Like,
which is interesting too, because you would think Sergio would have, I mean, I guess because he plays that cut, he probably has a little bit better distance control.
But watch Sergio, watch Adam Scott, watch, I mean, Justin Rose. Like, the best ball strikers in the world are the best at distance control. Because, like, you know, how many times do you hit shots on the golf course where you think it's right next to the flag and it's either 10 feet or 10 yards short or long? And then you're like, wow, that's way further. And then how many times do you hit one 15 feet left and you're like, oh, I'm not that close, and you get up to it and you're like, whoa, I'm really close.
Yeah. What's Adam Scott at, speaking of?
He's at three. So listen to
me. I was impressed with him today. He made a lot of putts.
The pairings tomorrow are kind of crazy. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it, but like, let me run down the pairings here real quick. From the final group down, you've got Rose Garcia, Fowler, Spieth, Moore, Hoffman, Scott, Charles Schwartzel, so two defending or two past champions. Then you go Westwood, Peters. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Bomb threats everywhere.
I mean,
and a lot of comfortable pairings. Like, dudes are playing with their friends.
Yeah, it's going to be
that helps.
Really
hopefully
interesting.
They set it up like, you know, relatively ripe for scoring.
I also want to go back and say, listen, you know, JP maybe missed Club and Rory, but nobody looks better in aviators than that guy.
It's true.
I mean, really.
You can't take that away from him.
You can't. I mean, he rocks aviators on the reg, and he looks like an absolute assassin.
JP's got a good gig, man.
He does. He's no, chilling, man.
Everybody is getting at you about JP needing to get fired because everybody wants JP's gig.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, these are
blow up his spot.
These are people that have no dog in the fight. All right.
So, what do you guys think is the furthest back? Do you think guys that even could win if they shot like a ridiculous round could win? Could
Who's
Rory?
At even?
Rory's at even.
No, man, I think that these guys...
I think Rory's going to go out and he's going to, like, put a charge in it.
No, I think 300 because I think that of all these guys, one of these six in the final three groups is going to shoot 68 or 69.
There's too many guys.
Like, someone's going to go low enough to get out, you know, above, like, a 7 under, you know? And, like, you can't get to 7 from even.
Somebody at even, somebody would have to go out and shoot 62. 62 or 63.
I think, you know, today's low score was 67. I got a feeling we're looking at 8 or 9 under as the winner tomorrow. I don't know, though. It could go to 10, too. But
I think 8's a playoff, 9's outright.
It's I think that there's a serious playoff possibility tomorrow.
That'd be sweet.
Love it.
What's your worst case outcome here, Tron?
He said it before dinner. He said Justin Rose wins.
I feel so bad disliking Justin Rose, but he is just the limiest bastard on the planet. And like everybody's like, oh, he's the nicest guy in the world. I know
he's
that.
He's gonna put on the green jacket.
I know that.
With those, the Queen's English,
with
right?
those sunglasses, and he just offends my sensibilities.
It wouldn't be Schwarzel. I feel like
he's
don't like Hot Charl either.
He's such a stodgy guy.
You don't like Hot Charl either, though.
Hot Charl's just. I like Hot Charl. That guy beats the ball up, man.
I'm a big Hot Charl fan, too.
That's a great nickname, by the way. I haven't heard. That's the first time I've heard that. That's special.
I think he's got a good shot at it.
Eighth grade Neil would love that nickname. the Hot Charl.
All right,
so you were shitting on Sergio's body language.
Speaking of shitting on.
Sergio made some big putts there. And then, you know, he gave it a nice fist pump on 18.
I know, okay, but coming up, like, he hit that
shot.
He just
didn't have his swing down the stretch.
15, 16, he was just like, he just feels like, I can't do it. Like, it's almost like you can see he's, like, waiting for himself to mess it up. And he didn't, and I'm happy he didn't. I just want to see him, like, embrace the moment again. Like, dude, go out and grab it.
What happened to Rom today? Like, I feel like we didn't see any of his shots after 13. Well, he's at even.
The thumb?
He shot 73.
Are you talking about the thumb? Randy's Randy's
thumb.
One?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the best nickname I've heard in a while.
Who's the McRib playing with tomorrow?
He's got a day two with Cooch.
Oh God! Because
that's why they're both shooting even par, because they're evening the pop out. It's like
pushed today. So both of them shot 71 today.
Tron, who what's gonna happen in day two? You predicted an evaporation yesterday.
A vaporization. I think the McRib's gonna. If we're playing a Nassau, the McRib's going to just eviscerate him on the front nine, and then Cooch will probably come back and
lay up on 13 and 15.
Birdies. Yeah, yeah. All right, so talking about 13 and 15, I feel like CBS just completely loses the plot when there's, like, the leaders are playing 8 and 9 and some of the guys in contention start hitting 12 and 13. Like, they have no clue how to juggle the two.
We don't
see any tee shots whatsoever on 13. We don't see approaches into 13. We don't see a lot of the approaches into 15 either.
I feel like
and
the problem,
have
though...
bad camera
the
angles.
The camera angles
on
suck on
like
13
They never pick the ball
five.
Up on 13 when it comes
they
down.
They need
to
get shot tracer.
Is it not the pine straw?
There's no shot tracer.
That's the Masters, though. That's Augusta, I think.
Yeah.
Augusta said, don't give us that technology. We don't want that. Get that out of here.
The other issue, like, is I just think that there's too many guys in the thick of it for them.
Well, but that wouldn't, like, on an NBC broadcast, that wouldn't be a problem because they would be showing rapid fire golf, whereas CBS spends 20 seconds setting up every shot, and then they insist on showing every putt that everybody in contention is hitting. When really, I would much rather see the shots that set those putts up and then show me the putts in rapid fire sequence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally today it was like every other sentence out of the commentator's mouths were this just a moment ago. You know, this just a few seconds ago. Like it was so over the top as far as, you know, I get that they're trying to be credible and just saying what's live and what's not, but knowing, like, looking at it on the app and everything, almost nothing that they're showing is live. So don't even bother telling us what was a minute ago and what wasn't. Just show it all as live as possible.
I feel like they need to have, like, almost, like, I don't know what the solution. They need to have more screens going or more channels. Like, you know, like with the apps, it helps a lot, but it's just so hard. I don't know if there's anything they can do. There's too much golf.
No, you know what the solution is? It's doing something like, you know, when like NBC's not afraid to do a split screen, or they're not afraid to do a picture in picture. You know what you need to do is have the regular broadcast, and then for people who are diehard fans, you need to hire the guy that does red zone for NFL and do like a red zone Masters telecast or a red zone Saturday, Sunday telecast where it's just rapid fire. He's switching between everything. It's one guy, and they're just showing a ton of golf shots. Boom, 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 boom. Instead of trying to spoon feed everything to everybody and set up a narrative.
Yeah, I mean, that's the end of the day. They're just trying to set up those narratives. CBS loves their narratives.
They're obsessed.
So it's tricky, man. It's I don't know if there's any good solution. I think it's such a difference when Spieth's running away or it's two guys versus this year where there's, you know. Yep. 10 guys to keep track of. Who were you disappointed in today outside of Phil?
Phil. Sad. I was a little bit disappointed in Rory. I guess he was getting pissed down the stretch.
I'll tell you who I was disappointed with. Thomas Peters. I thought he was going to charge a little bit, and then he started getting, you know, down on himself on 8 and 9, and they dropped him from coverage. I thought he was going to step up a little bit, and he didn't.
Yeah, my boy. Just.
What about you?
I like him. I like him. Peters? I root for him.
Yeah, you know, I felt like he caught a lot of edges today. He just didn't – he never got any positive mo going. You know, so much.
He hit some good putts that just didn't go in. Like, missed on the high side.
He had that three putt on 11 from, like, 3 feet that just killed him. But, you know, I think Rory is just—he's just—I don't
know. So maddening. He's so frustrated.
It's—he had that. He hit it tight on 11, you know, and he had that 4 or 5 footer for birdie there, and I was like, all right, this is where he gets going, because you know, you birdie 11, all of a sudden you're picking up a shot and a half instead of just a shot, and he misses that, and then you know he doesn't. He didn't make birdie on 15. He hit the drives in the fairway on 13 and 15. Didn't make birdie. You know.
Yeah, he was what, like 175, 180 out on 13.
Yeah.
Five.
And then on 15, he hit an unreal chip up to 4 feet and missed the putt. It's just, you know, it's such an interesting thing to look at. You know, everybody says putting doesn't matter. And, like, you know, this era, but, like, I can't think of a better tale of two players than Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy, and how, you know, especially at Augusta, where I think that's where putting is kind of, it matters with those 4 to 8 footers.
It's kind of like, you know what, everything matters.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like both sides are kind of overplayed. It's like, you know what, you got to do everything well, and... I thought it was interesting today. Spieth almost hit it in the water in 11, which I was like, damn, like he had to have pulled that 10, 15 yards left to even be flirting with that water.
It's, you know, this, he's, but that's the thing. He aimed where he needed to. If he hit a terrible shot, he's still safe. Yeah.
But that was the one shot that he hit today where he shouldn't. He was on the borderline of not being safe. He was almost in the water there.
He, you know, he didn't finish out as much love as everybody was giving. He didn't finish that round out. You know, he had that three putt on 16. He had. I thought for a second I was like, he's gonna get to 6.
Well, everybody was like fully erect after his wedge into 15.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have been.
Yeah. But then after that, it was kind of whatever.
That was stimulating.
So how about like CBS didn't even show Rose until like 14 or 15. Like, I don't think we saw Rose until.
I was thinking the same thing, and then incredible. I was looking at his round. He birdied 5 of his last 7.
And like, I would have no idea. So if I didn't look at his scorecard.
He was just like putzing around. He was like right around par, and then he just went on this crazy run at the end. So,
I almost felt like they had to they had to make a decision, like, do we show Rose or Adam Scott?
Yeah.
Because I feel like we saw a ton of Adam Scott putts today. Relatively, like, the kind of the middle of the round. And then at the end, they were like, oh, shit, we chose the wrong guy. Like, and they scrambled to show a ton of Justin Rose's shots down the stretch.
A lot of putts, not shots.
Yeah, putts, yeah.
But
that's the big takeaway. It's just they just love showing putts.
It's the so what do you? I want to dive into some matchups here. We'll get some rapid fire. Get some predictions out of you guys. You know, it sets up well. So you guys have you're both on Team Sergio for the win.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. I got so in order of confidence, I'm going to say Sergio. I'm going to say Sergio, Rictator, Spieth.
I find myself like, you know, you gotta test yourself sometimes where you just like gut feel when someone's putting. Like, you want to see that ball go in, and you can't like. And with Ricky, I want to see it go in. Like, I'm rooting for him. You know, like I want to see Ricky or Sergio win. Those are my top two.
I have a quick Ricky take. I forgot to say this earlier. If I have to hear one more time that he showed up 2.5 hours before his tee time to watch the Arnie tribute on Thursday, like
that's fair.
Like how early do these guys show up anyway? 2 hours? They most of them show up 2 hours before their tee time.
Getting a steam in.
So he showed up half an hour earlier than he normally would have, and walked out to the first tee. Sat there for 10, maybe 15 minutes, watched it. Like, I'm not, this is not a slight at Ricky. It's a slight at, like, Jim Nantz for pimping it every opportunity that he gets. Like, let's not lionize the guy for doing something that.
A lot of those guys get there early and they go get their. Yeah. They go, there's like, you know, they have like
they
mobile.
Go to the fitness trail.
Yeah.
They've got gear. Like, why wouldn't you show up early?
They've got it's mobile like chateau relaxers.
Playland. It's an absolute like cornucopia of pampering yourself at these tournaments. I can only imagine that it's even better at Augusta.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want to hang out there for?
I'm tired of. It's just like when Ricky played at Bay Hill a couple weeks ago. Good on Ricky for playing at Bay Hill, but like for them to just. Dap him up like crazy for having Arnold Palmer themed shoes on that Puma designed and just gave to him to wear. Like, I get it. Like, Ricky's a good guy. I think he's probably the closest approximation to Arnold. You know, probably like Phil and Ricky are the two closest approximations to like Arnie as far as interacting with the fans and getting it in that regard. But like, let's not go overboard with it either.
Well, you know? I think Ricky, is also like the most marketing conscious player out there.
Oh, for sure.
So like they like the
it's
fact
all calculated.
That the fact like 4 years ago he was getting paid like $30 million in marketing deals a year, or $30 million in marketing years a deal. Like he gets how to portray himself to the public to maximize his earnings off the course. And like that is a move like I'm not trying to say that this is like a business move, but all these moves are excellent moves at, you know, hyping your public appeal, which ups your marketing dollars.
I think with Ricky, he genuinely cares. Mm-hmm. There's like there, you know, it's not fake, but by the same level, he's being guided in the right directions, and they're making it easy for him to make these decisions. As
yeah,
well.
It's fair. It's you know, it's understanding you do these things like. I think like a perfect example is how Bubba constantly does the wrong thing, and a guy like Grayson Murray, young in his career, constantly seems to do the wrong thing.
Yeah, but would we be talking about Grayson Murray if he was doing the right thing? No. So that's a calculated move, doing the wrong thing, you know. So my phone's gonna go dead here.
Yeah. All right. Hey.
Let's do a couple props.
All right, what do you got? Rom Peters.
I'm gonna go Rom.
I go Peters.
All right, I'm gonna go with the thumb.
I can't put my finger on it.
Casey or Westwood?
Casey.
Westwood.
Well, I gotta ride my boy.
I know.
I gotta ride with your boy. I'm with you. Hey, yo, I'll jump on that train with you.
I gotta find another bet to make with DJ tomorrow. Now that I'm playing with house money.
You can hop on his back. He can carry the squad.
Yeah, I feel like Casey's a pretty good final round player, though.
Yeah, he likes Augusta too. Yeah.
I feel like he's a guy that could go out and shoot 66, and you know, just be sitting
on
that leaderboard.
Going back to your question about who I'm most disappointed in, I'm most disappointed in Leishman. I had really, really high hopes for him that
he got absolutely ejected on 15. Did you see my tweet?
Got eviscerated. Yeah.
his ball just got – he chipped it into the water from, like, the pin high.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then we'll do one here. Your boy JJ Day against he's got some. Oh, Justin Thomas. That's a pairing. Early pairing.
Oh my! Is that a pairing?
Yeah, it's spicy.
That should be a laser show.
The Ambassador versus Saba.
I'm gonna go with JT just because I think JJ Day is going to be a little bit exhausted from walking the hills.
Jason Day, because there'll be nobody watching, no pressure on, so I'll just go out and ball. I think he's got no pressure on him right now.
All right, Tron and Neil's phone died, so that's it. Enjoy your Sunday Masters, and we'll be back soon. Thanks.